This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Alan Patterson. Alan is CEO of a system of community health systems, federally qualified health centers. Thrilled to get a chance to visit with him today about what he does, what they do, his career, his thoughts on leadership, what he's seen with COVID-19, and a lot more. Alan, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me thank you for letting me be a part of the podcast today. I'm excited to be able to get to visit with you. Had hoped to be able to see you at the annual review, and I guess we'll have to do that virtually this time. I have been in healthcare since 1984. Before that, I was in public accounting for a few years, and then had the opportunity to become the financial officer of a family medicine residency program in Waco, Texas for a lot of years. And in the course of those years, we converted that family medicine residency program to a federally qualified health center that operated the residency training program. Total of 31 years with them. And then about 6 years ago, I got this wild lark that I wanted to go do full-time mission work. Ultimately, it wasn't a good time to go to some of the countries that I was planning on doing mission work in. So I took a position as the chief executive officer of another federally qualified health center system in Wichita Falls, Texas, which is where I'm at today.
Tell us a little bit about exactly that, federally qualified health centers. You know, for a lot of us, we hear the term constantly. We don't constantly understand what it means. Tell us a little bit about FQHCs.
Oh, federally qualified health centers are absolutely amazing. I have found my mission in life, my ministry in life. So federally qualified health centers were started in 1965 by then President Lyndon Baines Johnson, signed into it was a legislative work that had three main pieces to it. You've probably heard of a couple of them, Medicare and Medicaid, but you might not have heard of the Federally Qualified Health Center, also known as Community Health Centers, component of that. So that all came together in sort of the same overall legislative package. And the first Federally Qualified Health Center was opened in Harbor Point, Massachusetts, a suburb of Boston. In December of 1965. The second one was opened in Mount Bayou, Mississippi in 66, sometime in the early part of 1966. So that was the first two. They've grown a little bit since then. Today, there's about 1,500 federally qualified health centers across this great nation in every state and in all of the territories.
What does a FQHC look like compared to a regular clinic or a hospital? What does an FQHC look like?
Yeah, well, the mission is different at a federally qualified health center. Our mission is, it always has been, to increase access to and increase the quality of primary health care services. And so those 1,500 health centers now have about 11,400 clinic sites. We'd say if you've looked at one of those 1,500 health centers, you've looked at one of those 1,500 health centers. But the common denominator is that overall mission of increasing access to and the quality of primary health care services. Most all of the health centers are going to have medical, primary care medical. Most all of them now have oral health, and most all of them have behavioral health. So all three legs of the primary healthcare stool. Most all of the health centers around the country have that now. They may not have all three of those components at all of their sites, but nonetheless, they will have that. Many health centers have kind of branched out, and ours is one of them. The one I was with in Waco was the same way. We do health education. We're very engaged in being able to grow that next generation of healthcare providers. You know, my health center here in Wichita Falls, where we serve as a medical school campus, literally to have medical students here for the last 3 years of their medical school training. And then we have nurse practitioner students and PA students and all kind of other health careers. Many health centers are into, they'll do other services like optometry, podiatry, any other number of services.
Let me ask you a question. And Alan, is the FQHC, is it largely serving underprivileged communities?
Absolutely.
Is that
absolutely
a large part of?
Absolutely. Yeah, our target population. We're not excluded from serving anybody. We're here to serve anybody that needs primary healthcare services. But our target population is supposed to be those people living at or below 200% of federal poverty guidelines. You know, so in my own health center's case, we have something like 80% of our patients live at or below 100% of federal poverty guidelines. We do a lot of Medicaid. We do a lot of Medicare. And really, just about anybody, though. And if those folks that have no insurance whatsoever, then we give them a sliding fee scale discount based on their income, and a substantial sliding fee scale discount, sometimes up to 100%. They're marvelous. Marvelous tools.
Magnificent. And is staffing very hard today? Is it hard to find the doctors for these? Is it hard running the staff? What are some of the biggest challenges you face as an FQHC?
Yeah, many health centers do have staffing difficulties. My health center in Waco did not, because it had a lot of health careers training programs there, including the family medicine residency program. This health center, we do pretty well. We have a lot of community support that helps us with our facilities costs. And so we're able to pay more than what a lot of health centers are able to pay. But that is generally the Achilles heel for health centers, being able to attract, recruit, and retain primary healthcare providers and the support staff, for that matter, as well. But, you know, once again, the health center that I was with in Waco and the one that I'm with now in Wichita Falls, we probably are luckier than the average health center in being able to have and maintain a good, well-trained and dedicated workforce. So it is a problem at a lot of health centers, though.
How has COVID-19 impacted your FQHCs? What have you seen with COVID-19?
Well, initially, I think the emergency was declared, what, March 13th or something in that ballpark. And I would say that we had about a 30% decrease in our patient volume for that first 4 to 6 weeks, pretty significant decrease. Now, having said that, again, we're in a good community and we're really well respected in our community. So in pretty short order, I would say by the 3-month mark, we had been able to recover to where we were either doing somewhere around 95 or 100% or 105% of our comparable volume from the previous year. Now, the caveat to that is telemedicine. We had virtually no telemedicine services prior to COVID-19. Fortunately, they were able to do some emergency authorizations both at the federal and the state level. And not only were we able to at least do telemedicine services, we were able to get paid for those telemedicine services. So we went from doing less than 1%, probably closer to zero telemedicine services prior to the pandemic, now we average around 25 to 30% of our total visits are our telemedicine visits. And but for that, then we would have suffered substantially more. Now, a lot of health centers, to be honest with you, Scott, a lot of health centers, their volume dropped down, 60-75%, which I think, a lot of primary care practices did too. But our health centers, the two that I'm most familiar with, one in Waco and the one here, we didn't suffer near that. Now, we had quite the community presence and were able to make the adjustment pretty well. In addition to that, federally qualified health centers are wonderful partners in the community. And so where we were able to, being a federally qualified health center has certain rights and responsibilities, and we were able to secure quite a significant amount of federal funding to help us get through the pandemic, including monies for being able to recruit and retain staff, including monies for being able to buy PPE, including monies for testing and training. My particular health center, we were able to secure a rather nice payroll protection plan loan, and that was really nice. Again, we had a tremendous amount of community support. So my health center has done extraordinarily well through the pandemic, both in being able to keep our programmatic services going and being able to keep our financial bottom line from tanking. So much so, yeah, frankly, the vaccine.
Go ahead. You're going to say something else. Please.
We're administering the vaccine to the extent that we can get the supply. And in fact, I'm waiting on another nice ample allocation to show up today. When we ran out of the supply, my health center has been able to go help some of the other entities, like the public health district and the state hospital, that had allocations of the vaccine, but they didn't have the staff to administer them. So we've been sending staff, our nurses and our support staff, over to help those other organizations get those vaccines into the arms when they didn't have the staffing to do it. So it's a real community effort that we've got going here. And that's what makes part of the beauty of being a federally qualified health center, being able to bring in those extra resources and pitch in to make the community better than it could otherwise hope to be.
Just magnificent, Alan. Alan, CEO, Federally Qualified Health Center, Community Health Centers. Wichita Falls today, right? Not Waco. You're in Wichita Falls today.
Last 6 years I've been in Wichita Falls.
Magnificent. I want to thank you for joining us today. What a pleasure visiting you, and what a great mission that you are on. So thank you very much for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thank you, Scott, and best wishes, and stay safe for us, okay?